Hour number two of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch taking you through a Thursday edition. I'm with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Actually, technically, I'm with you until 6:30 tonight, because at 6 o'clock, it'll be Sean Bennett with the Chronicle Telegram joining me on the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. We'll talk some high school wrestling between 6 and 6:30. We'll also catch up with Avon head coach Jeremy Johnson as well. So a lot to get to here over the next couple of hours on Bullseye on the afternoon. We'll talk wrestling at 6, but we're going to talk football and basketball for now with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus. Dunny, how are things in the capital of our great Buckeye State?
Everything's kind of good. A little bit gloomy and a little bit cold, but otherwise not so bad down here. How's everything up in the area?
Sun's out, so I guess it's not gray and glooming, but
that's always good.
It's cold. Let's not let the sunshine fool us here. It is most definitely cold. But, well, one thing that wasn't cold was the Ohio State offense in the second half and their come-from-behind victory in the Big Ten title game on Saturday night. Dunny, let's start with your three major takeaways from Ohio State's win over Wisconsin on Saturday.
Well, my first takeaway is they actually handled adversity, and they handled it well. They went into that game and went into halftime down 14 points, 21-7. They had zero momentum. They come out with the ball in the second half. They drive the field. They score, get a stop, score, and next thing you know, they're in this game. That was huge. Second takeaway is Justin Fields. He looked skittish in the first half. It was like he was afraid of taking a hit on his knee. He took a couple hits on it. Apparently everything kind of felt well for him. Because in that second half, he was a great player. It was like watching the Justin Fields against Nebraska or against Wisconsin the first game. And then the play of the defense, they really stepped it up in the second half, allowing less than, I believe, 75 yards in the second half to Wisconsin, who ran all over them in the first half. Those are really my three takeaways from a great game for Ohio State, especially in the second half.
You mentioned the knee of Justin Fields. What do we make of that situation right now, and do we have any further updates? Does it look like that's going to hamper him in any way, shape, or form coming up against Clemson here in a couple of weeks?
I think it's something that's going to be looked at after the playoffs are done. If I remember everything they're saying at Ohio State, it's a strained MCL that, you know, it'll improve day by day. And, you know, it's a good thing that Ohio State has, what, 2.5, 3 weeks off before they get back at it and play Clemson. It probably won't be 100%, but it'll be closer to 100% than it was probably against Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game, and that will be huge for Ohio State. I think he'll be able to run a lot better and a lot more, which they'll need to do against the Tigers of Clemson.
You mentioned handling adversity when you were talking about your three major takeaways from the victory on Saturday night. Do you think that was the kind of test that Ohio State needed? Because all you heard all year long was that, boy, I mean, they just kind of ran roughshod over every team that they faced, but they really never had any kind of adversity thrown their way. I think really the toughest game was against Penn State, but even then, I'm not necessarily sure they faced a ton of adversity. Do you think that Saturday's game against Wisconsin was the kind of test that this group really needed?
100%. It was absolutely what was needed for Ohio State to show what they can do, to show to everybody, hey, we can handle adversity. We can be 14 points down at halftime, come back, win the game, and win by double digits. And that was exactly what I think Ohio State needed. They wanted, obviously not like that, but it was something that they expected throughout the season and never got until their last game against Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game.
Several big awards have been passed out to the Buckeyes over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it got me to thinking, because that's just kind of what we do in talk radio, right? You try and project how many first-round picks you think are on this current roster right now. I ask that because, you know, Chase Young more than likely could be the first overall pick in this April's draft. And then, you know, Justin Fields obviously has a little bit longer to wait before he can get drafted. But, you know, there seem to be a lot of first-round picks on this roster.
Right now, probably, if you're being realistic and if you're looking at everybody, possibly four, if and they're all juniors or redshirt sophomores. So they could come back, but I don't see it happening. But I think, you know, Chase Young's top two draft pick, 100%. Jeff Okuda, the cornerback for Ohio State, I think is a top 10 pick even possibly top eight pick, if you want to go that far. Then you have Sean Wade, who is their nickel corner, who played very, very well. Depends on if he comes back or not, because if he comes back, he's the number one corner, and watch out. He can be the next Jeff Okuda when we start talking about that. And then if you're looking at a running back, J.K. Dobbins, if he doesn't come back, he could be a first-round running back. He's up for the Doak Walker Award this year. He didn't play much of the second half against many teams. So I think overall that is something that to keep an eye out is after these bowl games, who comes back, who stays at Ohio State, because there won't be much time between the end of the bowl games and eligibility time where they have to decide whether they want to come back or go pro.
We're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Dunny, I suppose we should address the elephant in the room here. This dominated a lot of talk early in the week, and, you know, we have two more weeks now until we get to the playoff game, just a little over 2 weeks. So how big of a snub do you think it was to Ohio State to be bumped to the number two spot instead of hanging on to the top spot in the college football playoff rankings? And I ask that simply because apparently a lot of sports books in Vegas think that is a huge, huge deal and a gigantic difference going from one to two.
Yeah, I agree. It was 100% a big difference going from one to two. I think it was really stacked up against Ohio State. You know, Georgia was number four playing LSU. LSU handled them. Ohio State struggled against number eight, but ended up handling them. Difference is, number two handling number four is a bigger thing than number one handling number eight. And they handled it, and they had some adversity in the game where LSU didn't. That, to me, was the change. That, to me, was the committee saying, okay, that's the ammo we needed to change LSU and Ohio State and switch them from one to two. The good news is I don't believe the number one overall team has actually won the college football playoff in the short history of it. So that could be a good thing for Ohio State, come to think about it, because if you go back to when they won it all in 2014 as the four seed, they played Alabama, who nobody thought anybody could beat Alabama that year, and they played a decent Oregon team. You know, they played Clemson, who everyone's saying nobody wants to play Clemson. Well, they beat Clemson. You know, they can beat anybody.
When you look at Clemson's resume, obviously very impressive because they're undefeated, but I don't know, Dunny. I look at that team on paper. The only real tough test that they faced throughout the course of the season was against North Carolina much earlier in the year. They don't really have a ton of marquee wins. I know they beat Texas A&M earlier in the year when Texas A&M was a little bit better, but you look at Oklahoma – yeah, they've got the one loss, and it did take them overtime to take down Baylor in the Big 12 title game, but you think that matchup really makes that big of a difference?
Yeah, I think it does. I absolutely think it does, because Oklahoma, you look at Oklahoma, and their defense is it's good, it's not exactly great, and neither is LSU's. I think that's going to be a very high-scoring affair. You look at the matchup with Ohio State and Clemson, you're looking at two top six pass defenses in the country. You're looking at two top 10 offenses in the country. The biggest difference right now that you see on paper between Ohio State and Clemson is special teams. When you look at the SP Plus by Bill Conley on ESPN.com, you look at Ohio State and they're 18th in special teams, and Clemson somewhere around 108. So whether that be field goals or fake field goals, fake punts like Ohio State pulled, or onside kicks, that might be the difference in this game, the Fiesta Bowl. Compared to the Peach Bowl.
Down there, is there a great deal of outrage? I mean, you can't really base a lot of what you see on social media, but based on what we've heard from some Buckeye fans over those social media platforms, it seems to be a little bit of outrage since they were knocked down from the top spot, even though they won last week against Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's outrage maybe on Sunday, but Sunday's passed. It's time to move on. It's time to get to the game instead of talking about one versus two. That doesn't matter anymore. Once you're in the top four. That's really all that matters when it comes down to it. The two versus three, just, you know, Ohio State's two because they get the home schedule, they get the home jerseys.
Okay, well, they get to pick out the jerseys they wear. Is that how that works? They can go scarlet or they can go white? How does that work?
Yeah, they go scarlet. They pick scarlet because they're the home team.
Okay. I did not know that they were able to be the ones that dictated who wore what jersey. But something to keep in mind as we are, again, just about 2 weeks and change away from that game.
I should say all indications end up that way because that's what they've been posting on social media as little hints, like red, like the old scarlet and gray sleeves for the jerseys from back in the 90s.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see a few days after Christmas. All right, yes. Duddy, we'll transition into some Ohio State hoops. And, boy, with all the football team has done here throughout the season, I feel like part of what the Ohio State basketball team has done has been lost in the mix a little bit here, and I can't help but think that because, boy, they're playing some great basketball right now. Last week we talked shortly after their victory in Chapel Hill over North Carolina, and now they're top three in the country, 9-0 on the season. Dunny, this team is on a roll.
And they're doing so in a great way. They're playing very unselfish basketball. Only two players are averaging double digits. Caleb Wesson is averaging somewhere just over 14 points a game. Dwayne Washington, who it seems like he cannot miss from three, is averaging just over 11 points a game, and he's averaging over 50% from the three-point line. But everybody else, you got the next six players are averaging somewhere between 7 and 9 points a game. Their spacing, their passing is very efficient. There is not a wasted opportunity for Ohio State when they're on the floor, and that's offensively. Defensively, they are playing lights out. Penn State was the first team to break, I believe, the 56-point barrier against them this season, and they won that game 106-74. So Ohio State is just playing unbelievable lights-out basketball. With all the upsets happening this week, if Ohio State handles their business at Minnesota on Sunday, I look for a new number one team in the nation, and that's going to be the Ohio State Buckeyes.
It's interesting you mention that, because when you look at the numbers that they have produced this year, you're right. I mean, sure, Wesson's having a nice year, as we expected he might be, but there really aren't a lot of guys who are necessarily stuffing the stat sheet, at least not enough to really kind of stand out when you look at them on paper. But defensively, that's where it seems like they've really hit their stride early in the year. You know, are they singling anybody out who is giving the best or a better effort early this season?
Dwayne Washington has really stepped up his game when it comes to the three-point line, and which is really funny because they moved the three-point line back a foot. So, you know, they moved it to the international line. So just about a foot or maybe just over. So he has really stepped up his game. Caleb Wesson in the offseason has been publicized. He lost over 30 pounds. And you try stopping a spin move at 250, let alone 280. 280 is a little bit slower. 250, he's moving like a point guard, as it looks like, in the post. And he can shoot the three. He went 4-6 from three against Penn State. You add in Kyle Young, who was finally healthy, and he's showing why he was a highly sought-after recruit for Ohio State. And then you have the young guys like DJ Carton from Iowa. You have the young guy like EJ Liddell, who is a great replacement for Caleb Wesson when Caleb Wesson needs a breather. And this team is loaded with depth, and they're playing, it seems like, 8-10 deep.
Has this whole process really kind of been streamlined and come along a lot faster than people thought? I mean, when they hired Chris Holtmann, I think a lot of us figured it might take a year or two for him to get his guys in there and really kind of create his system. Has this come together a lot faster than many in Columbus may have initially thought?
Well, because of the success of the football team right now, no one really is paying attention to the basketball team, as you mentioned. And except for now, you know, now that we're outside of the regular season and you look at the shot, you're going, number three, Ohio State? This team must be good. So, and Chris Holtmann's talked about that. You know, this is a very rare opportunity where he still gets to be under the radar because of how good the football team is doing. And he relishes that, and he tells our guys, and, you know, he uses that as ammo to encourage his players. And they accept the challenge, and they've accepted every challenge, it seems like, that Chris Holtmann has put out there. He is very much a coach that players want to come and play for, and it shows. And it showed the last 2 years when they made the tournament and got past the first round, and it shows now when they are a top-three team in the country.
It certainly does, and you're right. If some more dominoes continue to fall here, Ohio State could have the top spot in the country in hoops. So going to be a lot of fun to see how that progresses. A quick reminder that we will have Ohio State basketball for you on Sunday as they take on Minnesota with our coverage beginning at 5:45 on Sunday evening. Dunny, a pleasure as always to have you on, my friend. We always appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
All right, Dunny.